The Alaska Volcano Observatory says a brief eruption at a Cleveland volcano on the Aleutian Islands sent up an ash cloud that quickly dissipated. Geophysicist Dave Schneider says the cloud rose as high as 15,000 feet and dissipated in about 2 minutes. He says the cloud was not a hazard to aviation. Schneider says the explosion at 4:38 yesterday morning was similar to small events at Cleveland Volcano since December. Those explosions created ash clouds that dissipated quickly and did not affect air traffic. A 34-year-old man accused of kidnapping and killing an 18-year-old barista from an Anchorage coffee shack has pled not guilty to all the charges. Israel Keyes entered his pleas through his lawyer in U.S. District Court yesterday in Anchorage. A grand jury on Wednesday indicted Keyes in the death of Samantha Koenig. Keyes pled not guilty to charges of kidnapping resulting in death, receiving and possessing ransom money, and debit card fraud. Prosecutors believe that Keyes abducted Koenig on the evening of February 1st, just as she was preparing to close the coffee shack for the day, and then killed her the next morning. Her body was pulled 2 months later from the bottom of a frozen lake north of the city in the Matanuska Susitna Borough. If convicted, Keyes could be sentenced to life in prison or death. The State House and Senate have finished one-third of the items on the agenda for the special session that started on Wednesday. Members expected fast action on the bill strengthening the state's laws against sex crimes. The measure passed both bodies with no opposition. The Senate first passed the measure yesterday. The House concurred with the single five-word change to the bill that they had already passed during the regular session. That change on the Senate floor made human trafficking illegal within the state, and Anchorage Republican Senator Lisa McGuire said the entire bill was directed at protecting children.
Our most valuable resource are our children, and if we don't protect their souls and their spirits, we don't have anything.
The bill recognizes children as victims by not immediately classifying them as prostitutes. It cracks down on forced prostitution, on pornography, conspiracy laws, and makes having sex with an underage person a felony instead of a misdemeanor.
We do not tolerate this behavior in our community in Alaska. We don't tolerate preying on our most innocent victims, and if you are out there listening, we are going to come get you. And these are just the first series of laws. They're going to go on and on and on in our Choose Respect campaign.
The bill drew no opposing votes in either the House or the Senate and now goes to the governor for potential action. At the end of the regular session, very early Monday morning, legislators adopted a bill to extend a film tax credit incentive program for 10 years. It'll be funded at $200 million over the next 10 years, starting in 2013. It adds to incentives created in 2008, so film companies will be able to get a base 30% tax credit for spending in Alaska, with additional credits for local hire, films made in rural Alaska, and also during the off-season. Jacqueline Estes has more on the story.
As set up by legislators in 2008, the Film Incentive Program now allows filmmakers and producers to get tax credits for up to 44% of expenditures in Alaska. Senate Bill 23 would allow them to get tax credits for 58% or more of expenditures. Bob Crockett is president of the Alaska Film Group, a trade association with about 100 members. He applauds the extension of the program and several changes outlined in the bill.
It calls for more transparency, which we support. It calls for more Alaska business ground spend. It calls for more Alaskans to be working on film projects. They basically doubled the incentive from 10% to 20% as an incentive for Alaska crew positions, which is always healthy. They've expanded the rural hire or rural filming, rather, incentive to up to 6%.
Industry representatives say it's not uncommon for as much as half of a film's budget to go into pay for the producers, directors, screenwriters, and major actors, so-called above-the-line expenditures. Senate Bill 23 limits tax credits to 5% of above-the-line costs, but allows an increase of half the cost of expenditures paid to local residents, an idea new to Crockett.
I like the concept where you tie above the line numbers to how much local hire is spent, how much on local hire wages, and how much money is spent on Alaskan businesses. I think that's a healthy concept. How it actually plays out for above the line is something that we'll have to work through and see if it works.
Wasilla Republican Representative Anna Fairclough was a member of a House Finance Subcommittee that held several hearings and authored many of the changes to Senate Bill 23. She says she voted against the film tax credits legislation in 2008 and took this opportunity to address her concerns, one of them being about content.
If 90% of the revenues that Alaska receives are from development, such as oil and gas exploration or mining, we wouldn't want something, a movie, to display us in an inappropriate way or to shut down Alaska being able to provide that benefit to our people.
Fairclough says the solution is to create a commission to review tax credit applications and scripts.
And some would say that that's trying to censor what we're doing. And so during the process, we didn't hear any real subjective criteria that were being used to evaluate whether a film did or didn't do that. And so what the subcommittee did was recommend a commission be formed for that review process and that they develop criteria that it still may be subjective to some, but at least criteria that they would measure a film against. So is it going to portray the people of Alaska in a positive way or a negative way? And is it actual and factual, or is it something else?
That commission will be made up of the heads of the Departments of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Natural Resources, Revenue, and Labor and Workforce Development. In deciding whether to approve a tax credit application, they'll consider a film's effects on job prospects, the Alaska economy, and public perception of state policy on natural resource development. Senate Bill 23 also shifts part of the program from the Division of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to another state agency. Juanetta Ayers is director of the Division of Commerce.
We'll plan a smooth transition where the incentive review and award process is moved to the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Commerce continues to be involved in the promotion of Alaska as a film location and working on production coordination and connecting Alaskan businesses and workers to those job opportunities that come up.
Senate Bill 23 next goes to the governor for his consideration. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
The state Senate is currently considering a bill setting up a development of a gas pipeline from the North Slope to South Central and the Rail Belt. The measure passed the House last month and had two hearings in its first committee of referral during the regular session. A rewritten version returned yesterday for the first time during the special session, and sponsors focused on explaining the need for many of the elements the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee had eliminated. In particular, Anchorage Republican Mike Hawker, one of the co-sponsors, wanted to give the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation the ability to complete the project without any future action by the legislature. He explained that possible shippers and customers will be more comfortable if they know it will not be a political issue. In market news this morning, the price of Brent crude oil is $118.54 a barrel this morning. Silver down 14 cents, currently at $31.66 a barrel. Zinc, however, is up at 91 cents a pound, and lead is also up at 94 cents a pound. You're listening to Morning Edition here on KTOO Juneau. It's 6:30.